Jesus, friend of sinners, we have strayed so far away. We cut down. Hello and welcome to Hour of Hope. I'm your host, Pastor Matthew of Safe Harbor Church in Akutan, Alaska. I'm so glad you're with me on this wonderful day. It's been a rainy day as I'm recording this and another windy day, but we're excited about the summer. Are you excited about salmon berries? For those who don't live here, you can check the apradio.org if you want to learn more about the radio station and the different content that they have on this wonderful airwaves. Well, salmon berries are the berries that they have here in the Aleutians in our area. Just a cool berry, and they love picking them. And last year, they didn't get too many. So I was curious if the listeners have been out picking salmon berries. We're here to talk about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Do you have that hope? Have you trusted him? I hope that you have. On today's program, I'm going to be sharing something that I did at teaching on my YouTube channel, By the Bible. And on it, we had gotten a comment. Somebody said, I want to be saved, but I don't know how. I'm just didn't grow up in this. I'm so confused. And so I took about half an hour to explain on my YouTube channel how to become a Christian by the Bible. Because a lot of people think they're Christian just because they joined a church or their culture or their background. And yeah, they may be by the culture background, but are you by God's word? And that's a whole nother thing. So I'm going to play the audio of that video because I think it will help you understand more about, well, what is a Christian by the Bible. And hopefully the job I did was clear enough, so you'll understand with a sense of clarity what the Bible actually says. Because sometimes we come in and it just is really confusing and we don't, but you got to understand that's the most important point of what is a Christian by the Bible and you choosing to believe that. But before we do that, let's have a little more music, shall we? And let's open in prayer. Father, thank you for everyone that's listening. I pray it would be very encouraging and you would be glorified. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
She is running 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction. She is trying, but the canyon's ever widening in the depths of her cold heart. So she sets out on another misadventure just to find she's another 2 years older and she's three more steps behind. Does anybody hear her? Can anybody see? Or does anybody even know she's going down today? Under the shadow of our steeple, with all the lost and lonely people, searching for the hope that's tucked away in you and me. Does anybody hear her? Can anybody see? Shelter and affection that she never found at home. And she is searching for a hero to ride in to save the day. And in walks her Prince Charming, and he knows just what to say. Momentary lapse of reason, she gives herself away. Does anybody hear her? Can anybody see? Or does anybody even know she's going down today? Under the shadow of our steeple, with all the lost and lonely people, searching for every steeple. If lofty glances from lofty people, you can't see past her scarlet letter,
and we've never even met her. If judgment looms under every steeple, if lofty glances from lofty people can't see past her scarlet leather, and we've never even met her. Never even met her. Does anybody hear her? Does anybody see? Or does anybody even know she's going down today? Under the shadow of our steeple, with all the lost and lonely people searching for the hope that's tucked away in you and me. Does anybody hear her? Does anybody see? Does anybody even know she's going down today? Under the shadow of our steeple, with all the lost and lonely people searching for the hope that's tucked away in you and me. Does anybody hear her? Does anybody see?
He is running 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction.
Jesus, friend of sinners, we have strayed so far away. We cut down people in your name, but the sword was never ours to swing. Jesus, friend of sinners, the truth's become so hard to see. The world is on their way to you, but they're tripping over me. Always looking around but never looking up, I'm so double-minded. A plank-eyed saint with dirty hands and a heart divided. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours.
To remember, we are all the least of these. Let the memory of your mercy bring your people to their knees.
Nobody knows what we're for, only what we're against when we judge the wounded. What if we put down our signs, crossed over the lines in love like you did? Whoa, sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours. Every lost cause, you reach for the outcast, for the leper and the lame. They're the reason that you came. Lord, I was that lost cause, and I was the outcast. But you died for sinners just like me, a grateful leper at your feet.
and your love endures forever. You are good. You are good. And your love endures forever.
We're listening to the music of Casting Crowns, a contemporary Christian group. The next song we're going to listen to, we're going to let Mark Hall, I believe that's his name, the lead singer of Casting Crowns, set it up. He's talking about the reason he wrote this song, and it was for watching his mom take care of his grandparents. You'll get the meaning of it. He does a lot better job of sharing about the song he wrote. Anyway, I'd love to hear from you. If you need prayer, questions, requests for future programs, you can email me at mathewvroman@gmail.com. I am Matthew Vroman, the pastor of Safe Harbor Church. I also have a YouTube channel called By the Bible. I'd love for you to check it out. You can also call or text me at 573-703-5914. Let's go to him talking about the song he wrote for his mom taking care of her grandparents.
I began to write the song watching my mom care for her mom and dad as they were passing away. And they passed away within a year of each other. And seeing sickness change the people that raised her, seeing their minds change, and then so many things were just taking a turn, and watching her bear the weight of that. My mom is a believer. She loves Jesus. She's the one I go to first when I need somebody to pray for me. But watching her deal with this as they passed away, that was tough. And being a pastor for a long time, walking people through loss, there's this moment when we are suddenly very aware of their absence. The world seems quieter. You realize you're not going to hear their voice again. And in those moments, along with that, you feel the last moments of their life here. And there was pain, and there was suffering, or there was tragedy, or there was weakness, or there were wrong choices, and your mind is cluttered with the last thing you remember. And then your only hope is in something you've never seen. And as believers, we have a lot of faith for ourselves, but sometimes it's hard to have faith for others, especially when we've never been where they're going. And all we have is God's word to tell us. It's in those moments I've got to make sure that I'm in God's word for him to tell me what the truth is. We've grown up with a lot of beliefs. We grow up hearing a lot of things. But one of the scriptures that just grabbed my heart is in the book of Luke, when Jesus raises from the dead and he walks in to greet the disciples and says, "Peace be with you." And how they did not have a file in their heads for what was happening, because he was gone and now he's back. No one comes back, right? So they're processing this. And to comfort them, what does he show them? The risen Jesus, the risen Savior, still has something to remind them of where he was and who he was. It shows them in scars. When we lose someone, our only faith and comfort has got to come from the Father. It's not going to come from here, because all we see are reminders that we don't have them. So what we've got to do is we've got to ask God to help us release our ideas of who I knew that loved one was. And I've got to start focusing on who they are now. They are with Jesus. They are being held by the hands that bear the only scars in heaven.
The only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold you now. If I had only known the last time would be the last time, I would have put off all the things I had to do. I would have stayed a little longer, held on a little tighter. Now what I'd give for one more day with you. Cause there's a wound here in my heart where something's missing, and they tell me that it's gonna heal with time. But I know you're in a place where all your wounds have been erased, and knowing yours are healed is healing mine. The only scars in heaven that won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold you now. I know the road you walked was anything but easy. You picked up your share of scars along the way. Oh, but now you're standing in the sun. You fought your fight and your race is run. The pain is all a million miles away. The only scars in heaven that won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven, yeah, are on the hands that hold you now. Not a day goes by that I don't see you. You live on in all the better parts of me. Until I'm standing with you in the sun, I'll fight this fight and this race I'll run. Until I finally see what you can see. Oh, the only scars in heaven won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, and even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven on the hands that hold you now.
Isn't that awesome to know that in heaven there are no scars, because Jesus has scars in heaven that he took on when he had those nails in his hands and went to the cross. The next song we're going to listen to, and then we're going to get right into the message about what is a biblical Christian versus a cultural Christian or a churchy Christian, is As Far as the East from the West. And so Jesus, in Psalms, it says, as far as the East from us, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Well, East and West, they don't connect. Polar opposites. Well, that's the idea. Jesus, when he forgives sins, he forgives sins, and it has no more power over us. So I hope you will meditate. If you're somebody that you're really a Christian, Jesus has forgiven your sins, but you keep feeling guilty or have a burden, listen to the words, as far as the East is from the West, because it speaks to your heart to let those burdens go.
Sea of forgetfulness, the chains of yesterday surround me. I yearn for peace and rest. I don't want to end up where you found me, and it echoes in my mind, keeps me awake tonight. I know you've cast my sin as far as the east is from the west. And I stand before you now as though I've never sinned. But today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? 'Cause I can't bear to see the man I've been rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy I find rest. 'Cause you know just how far the east is from the west, from one scarred hand to the other. Reminding of my sin, and time again, your truth is drowned out by the storm I'm in. Today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? 'Cause I can't bear to see rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy I find rest. 'Cause you know just how far the east is from the west, from one scarred hand to the other. I know you've washed me white, turned my darkness into light. I need your peace to get me through, to get me through this night. Truth your word reveals, I'm not holding on to you, but you're holding on to me. You're holding on to me. Jesus, you know just how far the east is from the west. I don't have to see rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy I find rest. But you know just how far the east is from the west, one scarred hand to the other.
Just how far the east is from the west. they taught, the environment was music, and you were dying to know, just like a simple thing like, what does it mean to be saved? What is a Christian? What does it mean to be born again? Well, if you're that person, I want to share today with you, I'm going to try to do it in a clear way, with no churchy jargon, exactly what the Bible says about what is a Christian, how to be saved, how to be born again. If you're like, I don't understand those, you will in just a minute. Hi, I'm Pastor Matthew, and today we're going to talk about one of the most important decisions anyone can make. It's deciding to become a Christian by the Bible. Let me explain what I mean. When I was little, I was baptized in the Episcopal Church, sprinkled, cute little baby, had a cute little, there's my mom and dad holding me. Then later, when I was in junior high, I joined the Methodist Church, went through a class or something. And if you'd asked me, was I a Christian, I would have said yes, because I was by culture or tradition or church. But the problem was, when I went to college, I realized I wasn't a Christian. I didn't know what that meant by the Bible. And if you're wondering, hey, did I ever have that experience where I go, I'm a preacher, I'm Pastor Matthews by the Bible. Hit a comment. Please put a comment if you've ever had the weird experience of going in a church. Even maybe you're a committed Christian, but you remember the first time you went, it was uncomfortable, because it'll encourage those who will see it and say, wow, other people have that experience. Yes, I preach, and yeah, sometimes it can be kind of a weird experience. Some of the terms, some of the ways we talk, we're looking up things in the Bible. It's almost like we have our secret code. Turn to Numbers 21:10 or John 3:16, and if you not grew up in it and you've not been around it, it just really seems weird. If you're somebody that's brand new to the Bible, do that. It's the trailer video right there on the page, the top 10 basic Bible facts, and it'll give you just a basic overview of the Bible. So let me explain what I mean by what is a Christian by the Bible. Everyone should make a decision to become a Christian, but not everybody, just because you grew up in America or you grew up in a Christian country, that doesn't mean you're a Christian by the Bible. That means probably you're a Christian by the culture and world. So I'm going to try to break it down, and I'm going to try to minimize the churchy jargon, minimize big words you maybe have not heard. And I want you to follow along in your Bible, even if it's afterwards, you go back and you review this. I hope you'll share this video. And I know the temptation always to jump away. I do it all the time when I'm watching videos, but would you stay with me? Because the Bible is explicitly clear what is a Christian and what is not a Christian. And it all starts with the number one, the number one. I wrote a book called One, and it really is where it all starts. Genesis 1:1, the first book of the Bible, first verse in the Bible. I'm turning in my Bible. I hope you're turning in your Bible. Here is what it says. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If you're going to be a real Bible Christian, you have to believe there's a God. I remember there's a famous atheist, and he said, I like the Christianity of England, but he didn't believe there's a God. Well, he can be a cultural Christian, but I'm talking about being a Christian according to the Bible. You really have to believe there is one God. We look at the order of creation. There's so many things that reveal that there is someone that created this. But this is not a video to give you all the evidence, the strong evidence for that there is a creator. I'm just going to explain to you again what you've got to know to be a Christian by the Bible. You have to believe there's one God. Next. You have to believe that God has spoken through his word. In other words, this is the word of God. This is the channel by the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God as profit for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In other words, I know that was kind of churchy, but God, everything in creation, even they're finding out at the lowest level of minute bacteria, they have a way of communicating. Well, how much more does that reflect that the creator who created the ability to create wants to communicate to us? And we ask, how did he communicate? Well, he shows his creation that he's there, but his revealed word of God. This is what he gave us to show about him. So you have to believe there's a God. You have to believe this is the word of God. Now, what else do we need to know to be a Christian by the Bible? We have to understand some things about people. Some things about people. Because, you know, originally, people were not selfish. People were not prideful. Originally, we lived in a perfect world. But one day, man chose to sin. Humanity sinned. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned." Let me explain. Now you're like, "Oh, that's a churchy word." Let me explain what sin means. Sin is the idea of all the bad stuff we do. Lying is not a churchy word, even though lying is in the church, but the sense of everybody lies, everybody steals. And if you're like, just live and let live, try that until somebody steals from you. You'll want to get revenge. Nobody taught me to be prideful. It just comes natural because, as the Bible would say, I sin. I sin. There's another verse I wanted to share with you. It's Proverbs 20, verse 9. Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, "For there is none, there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." I've been all over the world. I lived in Turkey, been in several different countries. I'll tell you the one thing that is true about everybody. Well, God loves everybody, but everybody sins. Everybody does what's best for them. Everybody's selfish. If you're going to be a Bible Christian, you've got to accept that you sin. I sin. It's easy to look at the other person. I'm like, well, I'm not that bad. But when I say that, I'm saying I'm not that bad compared to that person. But if I stand before God by his standard, and his standard is don't lie, don't steal, don't be holy, don't pry. If you break one commandment, one thing, you're guilty of all of it. And standing before God, you and God one-on-one, his perfect standards, everyone has to accept that they're sinful. Now, does God overlook sin? No, he doesn't. And he is a just God. He is a just God. Well, what does that mean? Just like on this planet, people do stuff, they deserve punishment. Well, how much more sin against God? And if we sin, the punishment for sin, and stay with me, I'm giving it to you by the Bible. So there's one creator, God has spoken, God has given us his revelation, everyone sins. Sin's penalty is death. For Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Death is spiritual separation, physical death. Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God." Iniquity is another word for the sin, the bad stuff we do, that are our nature. And it says, "Your iniquities, your sin has separated you between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." So the first point of impact of sin is it separates us from God. It separates us from God. We are separated from God. Number two, sin is the reason we can't get to God by our works, because God is perfectly holy. When the prophet Isaiah saw God in Isaiah 6, when he saw God, the number one impact it had on him was he realized he's an unclean man. He realized his sinfulness, his vileness before God. And he realized the sinfulness of the world he was in. And that's the prophet. That's one of like the top prophets in the Old Testament, which would have been the first half of the Bible. So it corrupts our work. Listen to what Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 64:4. "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as the filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." Isaiah 64:4. Our sin corrupts our good works. So that's why you can't go to God saying, "I'm a good person," because sin before God, you may be a good person again compared to somebody that is doing worse stuff than you. This is not a comparison. This is evaluating your worth or you by God's standard. And on his standard, no one is good. And then finally, there's a couple other verses. Hebrews 9:27. And is appointed unto men once to die. So if you're going to be a Christian by the Bible, you have to accept there's no reincarnation. You only die once. This is Hebrews 9:27. But after this, the judgment. God will judge us. And as I mentioned, what do you think? Does he judge everyone guilty? Or you're clean, you're just, you can pass the judgment? Well, it depends on you understanding this. If you accept that you've got to go by God's standard. Again, you will feel confident all day if you do the comparison. Well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I'm not as good as so-and-so. So you're always going to compare, and you will always be justified when you compare to other people. But if you compare yourself to God's standard, here's what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 3, verse 19 through 20. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The key part I wanted you to catch there, everyone is guilty before God. You're not going to pass his judgment because it's by his standard. And then finally, if we're going to go, okay, again, if we go cultural Christianity, if we go some church's Christianity, whatever, it's like, well, there's purgatory. Purgatory is not found in the Bible. That's something that the Catholic Church made up. Or it's just all going to be good. It'll all work out. That's not, again, I'm giving you what the Bible says on what a Christian is. And here is what happens to the person that does not go to be with God. Revelation 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The Bible is very clear that, and we're going to get to the good news about being a Christian and all that, but we have to accept, we've got to understand that our sin's punishment is death, eternal, forever and ever, separation from God. When I would teach kids, I always just say, God wants a relationship like this. This is you, this is God. But, and I use my hard head, sin has separated you from God, me from God. And God must punish sin. I hope that makes sense so far. Number one, if you're going to be a Christian by the Bible, you have to accept there is a God. You have to accept he sent his word to us, people. You have to accept that you're a sinner, meaning you're bad. You're not acceptable before God. You will be judged before God. And then you have to accept the reality when you die, you deserve to go to hell, eternal damnation, everlasting destruction, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 says. Continuing, I want to add one more thing about sin. There's a lot we could talk about, but again, I'm trying to summarize it. God obviously sent his word, not just the standard, but also to explain. We know, well, what can we, since we're hopeless, we don't have a leg to stand on, we can't get to God on our good works, what do we do? Well, he explains in his Bible, but it also explains his holy standard, and people reject God's word. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So he sent his word so we can obey it. We should know it. Psalm 119:160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. His word. And in our sin, we've rejected it. And the second one is his prophets, people of God he sent to proclaim truth to his people. And here's what it says in Jeremiah 13:15. Again and again, I sent all my servants, the prophets, to you. They said, each of you must turn from your wicked ways and reform your actions. Do not follow other gods to serve them. Then you will live in this in the land I've given to you and your ancestors. But you have not paid attention or listened to me. They've rejected his people when they would come and preach. In fact, Jesus proclaimed to the Jewish nation, you kill the prophets. So let me explain again. You have to, if you're going to be a Christian by the Bible, biblically, you have to believe there is one God, he has spoken. You have to believe and understand that everyone is sinful. God will punish sin. It separates us from God. The ultimate punishment is eternity apart from God. There's no, again, no purgatory or waiting area. So now we turn to the good news. For the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. But means there's an alternative. And this alternative is we had God's judgment, justice, where he judges the world. But there's a place where God's justice and his love meet. And do you know where that is? Where is it we see God's justice and his love meet? In your feelings? No. And I want to say, don't base truth on your feelings, because it'll be like this. Base it on your faith in God's word. It's not about having a little faith, like everybody needs to have a little faith. Have faith. No, what is your faith in? And our faith has, if you're going to be a Christian by the Bible, it has to be based on the word of God and ultimately on Jesus Christ, where his God's justice and love meets. You have to believe Jesus is the one who came to this earth. He's fully God and fully man. He comes to this earth. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's his name, the Word. And then John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God becomes a man, the incarnation, in the flesh. I hope that made sense. Jesus walks, he does miracles to show who he is. But look at how he was introduced to the nation when he was about 30 years old, John 1:29. This was his cousin who was a prophet. The next day, John, that was his cousin, Jesus' cousin, seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God. The Lamb was the one who they would do sacrifices for sin, which taketh away the sin of the world. He says, that's God's sacrifice for sin. And Jesus Christ, listen to Romans 5, chapter 5. I want you to go read the whole chapter. It says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly, us, the sinful ones, us, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, it's Romans 5:8, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He went to the cross and took all the sin. Remember what separates from God? Our sin. Why are we going to hell? Why are we separated? Why do we have? Because of sin. Jesus died for sin. And then he physically rose from the dead. He physically never sinned, went to the cross for us. The one who was without sin went to the cross for us who sin, everybody. And he died on the cross. And then he physically rises from the dead. He walks. And he actually is going to return and judge the world. So what do we do with it? I hope so far it's been clear. Here, so you're like, well, I know that. I've heard that in church. Again, I'm going to explain what a Christian is then. So a Christian, somebody just doesn't just know that. They've committed their life to that. And it's not a new code Again, we haven't talked religion. Religion is broken. Religion is sinful. If the answer was religion, well, we got a whole lot of that. Every country I've ever been to, the Hindu country in India, where is that? Very colorful, very a lot of gods, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about not a new religion. We're talking about a great relationship with God Almighty and Jesus Christ. Here's what Jesus said in John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, he's talking to a woman, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? So let me summarize that. He says, you want to be with God. You want that gap to be brought back together where you have a relationship with God. You want to be forever with him and not have to go to hell. Be with him in eternity, a wonderful time where you don't have the pains of this life. All those things. He said, you've got to believe in me. And belief is more than just this head knowledge. In John chapter 3, he called it born again. You've got to be born spiritually. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So if you're like, I want to be saved, what does it mean saved to God? Brought out of, you'll always have sin in your old nature, but the idea of one day you'll be redeemed, you'll be with him if you believe in him. I know it seems so simple. Like, you mean just believe in Christ? I don't mean believe like you do the code like the Boy Scouts or when I was in 4-H or some other, or when I joined the military. What I mean is it becomes you. You take him in. It's a relationship. I prayed a prayer when I did that, but prayer doesn't save you. I mean, I can lead you in a little prayer, and I'll be glad to do that, but you don't want to sit there and come away and say, well, now I feel good because I prayed the prayer. Well, your confidence in prayer, it's always got to be in Christ, Christ alone. But, and we in our heart, I've met so many people that prayed a little prayer in church, but the problem was the prayer was awesome, but it didn't save them because they prayed a prayer, but their heart was still like right there. I'm going to grab something from my desk I forgot to bring over. So today I found something very interesting when I was cleaning. I found, we had a party at our church for the kids. We had a Marvel party. So this is Captain America's mask. And I think this is Flash, which is technically DC. And this is endorsement of Marvel or anything. But when I say a lot of us will put on a mask, you know, you can't, and we are hiding who we're like, you know, we got our little, we could say our Christianese, and we're dressed a certain way. You see, if somebody says, I gotta get my life together, and so then what do? They change the outward. But see, Jesus doesn't do that. He changed the inside. And so maybe they'll put on a different mask. You know, they're like, they quit swearing and they put on their suit. But the problem is, it's not the mask, it's the heart. And a true biblical Christian doesn't believe because of their feelings. Feelings are great, but sometimes we're like, well, how did you feel when you became a biblical Christian? Well, I didn't feel much, but I was different. And it's about Jesus coming in your life and you're different. You just don't function the same way. See, religion, my friend said, puts a suit on a guy. Jesus puts a new man in that suit. And so if you're watching this and you realize you're a cultural Christian, you're a church Christian, I want to ask you to become a Bible Christian by the Bible. I want to say, do you believe? And if you believe, you know, your heart's going to change. It's not, we're going to have a, there's an interview coming up of a man who was transgender for over 30 years and literally God changed him. I met a guy in Turkey. He was a jihadist who went to kill Americans along the way. He's from Jordan. He went to kill Americans in Iraq, and along the way he met Jesus, and He went from killing Americans to being baptized by one of the Americans. Didn't gotten good. You may be saying, like, again, I can't do that. I can get my... You didn't hear what I said. Here's the prerequisite if you didn't get it. You got to believe there's a God. You got to believe he spoke. And you got to accept that you are a sinner. I'm a sinner. Meaning your nature's bad. And you got to accept that God's going to judge you and you're guilty. You stand before him guilty. But see, the love is that Christ died for you and rose from the dead. And you can have a brand new life, brand new heart. And I just, that's what it means to be a Bible Christian. I don't put my faith in the feelings. I'm putting my faith on what God says in his words and ultimately in what Jesus did on the cross. This isn't a religious message. I know some of you are thinking, like, why is he so religious? No, it's not. It's a relationship. It's a life change. It's Jesus called it born. I love what Jesus said. He's talking to this super, like, top leader religious guy in John 3. And he comes to him, he says, now I know you're a teacher of God. Paraphrase a little bit. Comes to him at night. Well, Jesus wasn't interested in him learning how to, a new system. What Jesus was interested in him hearing, you got to be born again. If you want to see the kingdom of God, you want to get it, you got to be born again, a new person. And that only comes from believing in Jesus Christ. So I'm inviting you right now, you want to become a Christian by the Bible. And maybe you realize you have, but you got confused with your feelings and everything, or you started thinking it was on your performance, and you know you really are, and you need to start growing. We'll start tuning the videos, getting a Bible preaching church. But that's not going to save you. The only way you're going to be saved is through Jesus Christ. I always love when you hear the priest saying, God loves you. He does. And what's the proof? Jesus Christ. You want to believe now? That's a Bible Christian. If you want to believe right now, again, the prayer doesn't save you by a legion of prayer. You can express what you've already decided in your heart by faith. Tell Jesus, say, Jesus, I believe. You know in my heart, you see me. I commit my life to you. I believe you died and rose again. You're returning, and I'm a sinner. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've been this long, so great. I'm so thankful that you're a Bible Christian. Well, put a comment, and you probably have some questions, because again, I am a preacher and I am in a church. And so probably even some of the things I said might have been confusing, but I'd love to answer your questions. I'm not gonna make fun of anybody, because, you know, being real here, we all have questions and we need to get some answered. And if you are a Bible Christian, take 1 minute and hit that like, put a comment, just say, hey, I am. Could you share this video? Thank you so much. And I just pray that that all made sense to you, that you know it's true. You know it's true. Above all, remember, John says, Romans 5:8, I had dropped my note over here. John 20:31 says, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. John 20:31. God bless you and have a good day. And if you haven't believed, make sure to believe. And let's continue to go forward as we're living by the Bible. Show you how
'cause you're not alone. Here and now, you can be honest. I won't try to promise that someday it all works out. 'Cause this is the valley, and even now he is breathing on your dry bones. And there will be dancing, there will be beauty where beauty was ash and stone. This much I know. Oh my soul, you are not alone. There's a place where fear has to face the God you know. One more day, he will make a way. Let him show you how you can lay this down. I'm not strong enough, I can't take anymore.
You can lay it down, you can lay it down.
And my shipwrecked faith will never get me to shore.
You can.
You're not.